Thank you and good afternoon. Someone said, don't complain when you have to get up early each morning. The time may come when you can't get up. We're happy to have this privilege of Bible study today, and we're glad that you're listening to our Bible Meditations program. All right, let's return now to our discussion concerning some things that the churches of Christ believe. The actual statement, the churches of Christ believe certain things, really ought to be stated in another way. We ought to be stating what the Bible teaches that we believe, because ultimately that's the source of everything that we believe in religion. But we sometimes are misrepresented. We've noted this week a number of those misrepresentations. Somebody said they're Campbellites. Alexander Campbell started their church. Well, that's simply not true. And we could very clearly point that out to you if we had the time to do so. Also, some have said they don't believe in music. Well, once again, that's not true. We do believe in music. We believe in the kind that God authorized, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Others have said they believe they're right and everybody else is wrong. You've never one time heard a preacher of the Church of Christ say we're right and everybody else is wrong. We have said this repeatedly. The Bible is right, God's right, and all who differ with God are wrong, whether that's you or me. The Bible, then, is the standard, not you and I. Well, with those thoughts in mind, we believe that it's important that we set forth what we believe in religious matters. And so we're going through some of the things, of course we'll not get all of them, but some of the things that we believe are very important in regard to what we stand for. And they'll help us in understanding a little bit more about the church that Jesus said he was going to build. First of all, we believe in the inspiration of the Bible. We've pointed out repeatedly over Bible meditations that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. When we say it is inspired, we're not comparing it to some great writer, Milton or Shakespeare or some great person, but we're talking about a book that contains what God wants written. God gave to men the things that they wrote. And so the men who wrote, about 40 in number, wrote being guided by the Spirit of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21, Peter explains that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Prophecy did not come by their own will. The men did not write just what they wanted to write. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So if someone were to ask, what does God want us to do in regard to worship? Do you know where we would turn to find the proper things to do? Well, we'd turn to the Bible, wouldn't we? Because God has told us in the Bible what he wants us to do. What if we're doing something that the Bible doesn't say anything about? Well, of course, that would be usurping authority, wouldn't it? Going away from the authority that is in the Word of God. And so we believe the Bible is the standard of right and wrong that God has given to mankind. We also believe that it is the complete book. We don't need another book in addition to it. Some people say, oh, I believe the Bible, but I have another book. And they talk about a creed book, or maybe they talk about some other book that they say is a companion volume to the Bible. But when you put all those things down, the Bible says to us very plainly that it is all that is needed, that it contains everything having to do with life and godliness. I don't know about you, but as far as religion is concerned, I don't want anything beyond that. Life and godliness is covered in the Word of God. That's as far as I want to go. Well, keeping that in mind, we believe then that the Bible is the complete Word of God, that it tells us what God wants us to know. Another thing that we'd like to suggest to you that you think about, and perhaps we'll have more to say about this in the future, but is the fact that we believe that Jesus is the Christ. There are a number of people in our world today who have undertaken to prove that Jesus was just another man. Some have accused him of things that would make him worse than the lowest man in our town. They would tell us that he was a man who lived an immoral life. Movies have been put out recently, and books have been written to show that Jesus was low morally, and that he and his disciples were guilty of homosexuality and therefore fit into that kind of a moral life. Well, we don't believe that. We believe Jesus Christ is God's Son. We believe that he lived a perfect life while he was here upon the earth. And so for a person to undermine his being God's Son is certainly not in harmony with anything that we would believe in. Indeed, is he the Son of God in a unique way? Is he divine? And when Jesus came into the world, was he just another man coming into the world? Well, you look at the book of John, chapter 1, and John explains that in the beginning, right there at the start, that Jesus was there. He was the Word. And the Word, according to verse 14 of John chapter 1, became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Christ. He was born of Mary without the instrumentality of man. He's the Son of God, referred to in verses like John 3:16 as the only begotten Son of God. He is the one who was begotten by the Father in heaven. And when somebody says, well, I don't believe that he was different from any other man, they certainly have not considered the evidence. The Bible's filled with evidence that he is unique. He is the Son of God in a special way, and no other person has ever fit into that category. The Lord willing, we'll continue next week telling you about some more things that we believe that we want people to understand about Churches of Christ. It's been a pleasure to talk with you this week, and we hope you'll be listening again on Monday. Remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.